Kelly let Pam sleep. Down on the dock, he bumped into Sarah and Sam.
"The change in you is remarkable," Sarah observed. "You've helped her a lot, young man."
Kelly looked away, not knowing what to say. He loved her, amazing as that seemed. He was healing her, but she was healing him as well. She's worried that I won't... The stuff in her past, I mean. Hell, I have a somewhat checkered past, too, you know?
"Let her talk it out," Sam said. "She needs that."
"It might be some pretty ugly stuff," Sarah observed.
"Uglier than war?" Kelly shook his head.
"I want her fully checked out," Sam said. "When's the next time you're due in Baltimore?"
"Couple of weeks. Why?"
"I want to make sure you're both completely healthy, period."
"Got it?" Kelly nodded, smiling. "Do I have a choice, sir?"
Pam ended up sleeping just over 10 hours, and without benefit of barbiturates.
"You have to leave so early?"
she asked Sarah when she heard that they were preparing to leave the island.
Sarah nodded.
"Kelly got us back in working order," she said as they walked out to the dock together.
Sarah and Pam hugged. Kelly tried to just shake hands, but had to submit to a kiss. Sam shook their hands.
"Get some new charts," Kelly told the surgeon.
"Aye, Captain."
Rosen drove straight out, heading directly for water he knew to be deep. Pam just stood there, holding Kelly's hand, until the boat was a white speck on the horizon.
"I forgot to thank her," Pam said, finally.
"No, you didn't. You just didn't say it, that's all." He looked at her. Her eyes were clear, and he felt the need to kiss her, which he did.
"So, what do we do now?"
"We need to talk," Pam said quietly. "It's time."
Pamela Starr Madden was 3 weeks shy of her 21st birthday, Kelly learned, finally discovering her surname. Born to a lower working-class family in northern Texas, she'd grown up under the firm hand of a father who understood the form of religion, but not the substance. Donald Madden was strict because he didn't know how to love, who drank from frustration with life. When his children misbehaved, he beat them until his conscience kicked in, which did not always happen soon enough. Never a happy child, the final straw for Pam had come on the day after her 16th birthday, when she'd stayed late at a church function. Arriving home at 10:20 on a Friday evening, Pam came into a house to face an enraged father and a thoroughly cowed mother.
"Thanks," he said,
Pam whispered. Kelly squeezed her hand and continued to listen. After sustaining the worst beating of her 16 years, Pamela Madden walked the 4 miles to the center of the bleak, dusty town. She caught the first bus that came along, heading for New Orleans. So far as she could determine, her parents had never even reported her as missing. Scared and young, Pam had never learned that there were men who preyed on young runaways. Spotted at once by a well-dressed and smooth-talking man named Pierre Lamarck, she'd taken his offer of shelter and assistance. 3 days later, he had become her first lover. A week after that, a firm slap across the face had coerced the 16-year-old girl into her second sexual experience, this one with a salesman who had engaged her for the entire evening. The day after that, Pam had emptied one of her pimp's pill containers down her throat, but only managed to make herself vomit, earning a savage beating for the defiance. Kelly listened to the story with a serene lack of reaction. Inwardly, it was another story. The girls he'd had in Vietnam, and the few he'd taken since Tisha's death. It had never occurred to him that those young women might not have enjoyed their life and work. The shame of it burned inside him like a torch. By 19, she'd escaped Lamarck and 3 more pimps, always finding herself caught with another. Unable to go home, she'd called once and had the phone slammed down immediately by her mother. And not trusting the social services, which might have helped her along a different path, she finally found herself in Washington, D.C., an experienced street prostitute with a drug habit that helped her to hide from what she thought of herself. Along the way, she'd had 2 abortions, 3 cases of venereal disease, and 4 arrests, none of which had ever come to trial. Pam was crying now, and Kelly moved close.
"You see,
what I really am?
Yes, ma'am. What I see is one very courageous lady. He wrapped his arm tightly around her. Honey, it's okay. Anybody can mess up. It takes guts to change, and it really takes guts to talk about it. The final chapter had begun in Washington with someone named Henry Tucker, who had set up a stable of girls to run drugs from his operation to his distributors, the girls he bought from pimps in other cities. This time, Pam tried to run almost at once, but she'd been caught and beaten severely enough to break 3 ribs, only later to learn of her good fortune that the first lesson hadn't gone farther. Henry augmented the treatment by making her available to any of his associates who wanted her. In this, Henry had achieved what all the others had failed to do. He had finally cowed her spirit. She'd fallen into a nearly catatonic state until, 4 weeks earlier, she'd seen the body of a 12-year-old boy in a doorway, a needle still in his arm. Remaining outwardly docile, Pam had struggled to cut her drug use. She waited for a chance. Only 5 days earlier, she'd bolted. Penniless, Henry had never let them have money. She hitched her way out of town. "Tell me about Henry," Kelly said softly when she'd finished.
30, black, about your height.
Did any other girls get away? Pam's voice went cold.
I only know of one who tried. He killed her. He thought she was going to the cops, and he made us all watch. It was terrible.
Kelly said quietly, So why did you try, Pam?
I'd rather die than do that again, she whispered. I wanted to die. That little boy. And I was helping. I helped kill him.
How did you get out?
Night before, I fucked them all, so they'd like me, let me out of their sight. You understand now?
You did what was necessary to escape, Keller replied, struggling to keep his voice even. Thank God.
I wouldn't blame you if you took me back, set me on my way. Maybe Daddy was right, what he said about me.
You're not alone, Pam. Do you have any idea how brave you've been to tell me all this?
Are you sure? She asked. What about later?
The only later I'm worried about is those people you left behind, Kelly said.
If they ever find me, every time we go back to the city, they might see me. I'll never be safe, never.
Yeah. Well, you can just keep running, or you can help put them away. She shook her head.
The girl they killed, they knew she was going to the cops. That's why I can't trust the police. You don't know how scary these people are.
Kelly held her close, his eyes like steel. It had all started with Pierre Lamarck, or more correctly, Donald Madden, small, cowardly men who managed their relations with women through force. It doesn't take all that much to be scary to a young girl without friends. It takes a little more to scare me. Pam, if anybody even thinks about hurting you, he has to talk to me first. He smoothed her hair. Not all the men in the world are like that. Not very many, as a matter of fact. You've been unlucky, that's all. We're going to get you all fixed up.
And then?
Pam Madden asked. He took a very deep breath, but it was too late to stop now. Will you stay with me, Pam? She looked as though she'd been slapped.
You can't. You're just doing it because...
Kelly stood and lifted her by the arms. Listen to me, okay? You've been sick. You're getting better. You've taken everything the goddamn world could toss at you, and you didn't quit. Please, Pam, just believe in yourself a little.
It's hard. I've done terrible things.
He was angry with himself for not knowing exactly what to say. The rest was easy. By the end of her second week with Kelly, she'd started to run and gained weight, but she still had her demons. Mainly, he loved her, the sight, the sound, the smell, and most of all, the feel of Pam Madden. He found himself wishing that he could reach into her mind and remove the bad parts, knowing that he would have to trust to others to do that. One evening he was stunned by an abrupt statement she made.
There are others, John. Other women Henry has, like Helen, the one he killed.
What do you mean?
I have to go back. I have to help them before Henry, before he kills more of them.
There's danger involved, Pammy, Kelly said slowly.
I know. But what about them?
It was a symptom of her recovery, Kelly knew.
I can't hide forever, can I?
Kelly could feel her fear, but her words defied it. He held her a little tighter. No, you can't. He paused a moment. I have a friend on the police force, he said. He's a lieutenant. I did a job for him a year ago, and he owes me one. He paused. You don't have to do it, Pam.
All the things they did to me, they're doing to the others. If I don't do something, then it'll never really be gone, will it?
Kelly knew that if their relationship were to go farther, Pam's own demons had to find their resting place. Let me make a phone call.